So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, my friend. And matter of fact, Denise has a beautiful album, a CD, and I have it at home, and I have it upstairs in my prayer room, and when I put it on, I feel joy. I feel like I'm in my prayer room, and, you know? So think about it. I think you'll love it. We mentioned about people. You mentioned about people before, and, oh, you mentioned about this town, and I remember, must be 10 years, must be a decade ago, I don't know, 8 years, whatever. We went through the town. What was it? Was it the 4th of July? I don't remember.
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. Oh, 20 years ago? Oh, my God. And so we were walking through the street, and as we were walking through the street, we were singing. And there were all people, cars all lined up, people outside, little children. And I remember, you know, we were walking and we were singing a song about the Lord. And when we approached this one area, there was a mom and she had her little children sitting on top of the car as the parade was going by. And as we were singing that song about Jesus, she covered their ears. She went over to the little boy and covered his ears and didn't want him to hear. And that was such a sad scene. So when I thought of it again, I thought we should, and we'll tell you when, on a probably a Saturday, maybe morning, we'll maybe go in our cars, maybe some of us will walk, and let's walk through the main street, or maybe we could be in our cars and travel around, go through the neighborhoods praying. So I'll tell you more about that, okay? And we'll have a date. All right. Father, I just bring this word before you, and I just need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Father, as we hear this word and touch your heart, would you touch all of our hearts with the message, God? Bring truth, and the truth that sets us free, Lord. There is so much in our thinking, our process of thinking and thinking about ourselves that is off. It's just lies. So we want truth this morning. And Father, I just want to bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first scripture you can turn to, please, is 1 Peter chapter 2. Okay. You know what? God calls us holy. He calls us a holy people. And think about that for a moment. Think about how deep that is and the dimension of that. And God himself is calling his people holy. Oh, I don't feel holy, but I know that God sees more in me than I see in me, because I'm hard on myself. Probably a lot of us are. I'm hard on myself. I always think I should have done this or shouldn't have said that, or you know what I mean? Too much about me. So I need deliverance. But God actually calls his people holy. And let that just settle in. We need to get a better picture of ourselves, of who we are and how God sees us. A better picture. You know, God chose us to be an end time people, the end time generation. It's a holy generation, the church in the end times, holy. And just to know that we are here at such a time as this is amazing. It's so amazing. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It speaks about being newborn baby in the Lord and tasting the Lord is gracious. And then it says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Then the word says in 5, and you also as living stones. So first, he's saying that he's calling Jesus the living stone, rejected by men, chosen by God and precious, and you also. Let's get a picture of ourselves, how God sees us and who we are. As living stones are being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then let's go to verse 9. It says, some people are disobedient, they stumbled there, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So, doesn't that make you feel good? No. Doesn't that make you feel good?
Yes.
It's truth. It is truth. But you, hallelujah, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, you're a believer. And coming together, the combination of all of us, a holy nation. This is what God sees when he looks down at the earth. He sees a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. I love that. Think about that. His own special people. Now you have people, but then they're special people. His own are special because of him. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Glory to God. We all probably had that moment, unless you were born saved, but you probably had that moment that he called you out of darkness and into his glorious, marvelous light. And all of a sudden, the light came into our minds, and we knew it was good. Amen? So we have to see how God sees us. And that's what this sermon is about. Because God calls us holy. He calls us a holy generation. So the word of God says, but now the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter is speaking to the born-again believers in Christ. 2 Chronicles, we'll turn there. Okay, 2 Chronicles, verse 29. Chapter 29, I guess. Yes, 29:11. This is about Hezekiah is cleansing the temple. And 11 says, my sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister to him and burn incense. And to serve him and burn incense. You know, I just see a picture of us. Jesus is also called the burning one. Have you ever heard that? But I also see all of us, God is burning things out of us, and we are a chosen generation. What I want to do today, because it's on my heart, and I believe that God put it on my heart, to see ourselves as the chosen generation, but to see ourselves as holy. That doesn't mean we're perfect, right? But God put some of his holiness inside of us. He called us. He woke us up. He sought to change our minds. The work of the cross, the blood that was shed, started to reach us, and we woke up, and all of a sudden, there's a renewing of the mind. There's a rebuilding of our soul. There's a whole process that's taking place as the Lord is looking down at us, and he's seeing it, and he's seeing it, and he's seeing what's going on, and he sees the progress. And I believe that, you know, I believe that the Father one day, and I don't know what that's going to be like when we are with him, when we're with Jesus. I have all kinds of pictures in my mind. And when I was worshiping this morning, you know, I pictured the throne room, and I pictured worship. And I pictured, like, as we were worshiping, like there were waves, I guess I could say, hitting us, and waves hitting us. And the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come." And so when they're saying holy and holy and holy, this holiness, like I just got that picture of coming like a wave to us, and his holy people, as God calls us holy, whether we feel holy or not. He calls us a holy generation. In 2 Chronicles 29:11, it's saying, like, through Jesus Christ, every born-again believer has been made a priest before God. For the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him and burn incense. Now, I'll get into that a little bit, make things a little bit clearer. But 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 and 5 says, coming to him, Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. And so we are coming to Jesus as to a living stone. What is that? We know, we have heard, Jesus is the cornerstone. You see, something is being built. The true church of Jesus Christ is being built. And we each are a chosen stone in that building. Amen? You also, as living stones, the word of God says, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here we are. You know, God sees this building, like a holy building, and we're each part of that. But he sees us offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What is that, offering up spiritual sacrifices? We're a holy people. We're a holy generation. We love the Lord. We're still flesh and blood. But yet, we offer up spiritual sacrifices. And I want to talk about that. When I looked this up, I did a little digging. And this is what I came up with. Spiritual sacrifices. We are under obligation to live holy lives. It's a sacrifice. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God and to not conform to the world, but they're sacrifices of praise. And that is so deep. If we are not feeling well, if things are not going well, but yet we're offering up, that's like a burning incense before the Lord. And it comes, I believe, before his throne room. Serving him with whole hearts and willing hands. Spiritual sacrifices, performing good deeds, giving our material possessions, presenting our bodies to God as instruments of righteousness, to intercede and pray for one another, for all people. All are to declare the word and pray. believers are collectively been set apart for God and his kingdom as a holy nation. And that is what we are collectively, a holy nation, to proclaim the gospel of salvation to his glory and praise. Now imagine, we can't imagine, it's too far above even our own knowledge, but if we try to imagine when the Jewish people start coming into the fold, Jewish people, I believe God is doing a work there. We know it's severe what's going on. It's horrible what's going on. But like I say all the time, God is about a work there. His precious, precious ones. And imagine when we are united with them, the family of God, loving each other, living in the presence. We can't possibly get a clear enough picture. But how joyful and how happy the Father will be when all of his children come home and are one. And are one. Do you believe that God sings? I do. I believe he will break out in song. In song. And imagine if he dances before us. We had a beautiful display this morning. But imagine if God the Father starts to, because all of his children are together. All of the, we're all brothers and sisters. And we're the family of God that he wants so fervently. You know, it's so deep to the Father that he's waiting. All these years are going by, and all these years are going by, but he has a plan, and that plan shall come to pass. Amen. Jesus told his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit. And we can't make it without the Holy Spirit. We really cannot. We need to be baptized and baptized and baptized. Another level, another level, another level. Because we want to move with the Spirit of God. We want to be filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, and it's possible to be filled, overloaded with the Spirit of God, we are the anointed, chosen, end time people. Spirit of God. Yes, we are. The Spirit of God. God has so much for us. We're just like say it's a nice dish of dessert, your favorite dessert, and you're so happy somebody put it in front of you. They put a fork in front of you, but you just took a little taste. Oh, that's so good. Thank you. Imagine what God has for us. I try to put it in silly terms even sometimes because I get excited because there's so much planned for us the rest of our lives, but for eternity as well. So Jesus told his disciples that he would send Holy Spirit because he knew we would never make it down here without Holy Spirit. John 14:26, but the helper, oh my God, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit kind of seals what we know and brings forth even new things that we don't know. But the Spirit of the living God, if you're not talking to the Holy Spirit and including him as you go through your day, you're missing something. Who was it? Smith Wigglesworth? That, yes, it was Smith Wigglesworth that spoke to the Holy Spirit constantly. People would see his lips moving. And he said that if he forgot about the Holy Spirit for 20 minutes, he would stop and ask God to forgive him. So whenever he went to a meeting, he was speaking, whatever, he knew exactly, because he was walking in the Spirit, he knew exactly what God was calling him to do that evening in that church. And he did crazy things. Are you afraid to get crazy? He did crazy things, like the woman on the altar. I think she was an old woman, and she had a big old tumor, and people were praying for her. So the Holy Spirit said, go and punch her in the stomach. This is extreme. of what happened. The tumor fell out. People, he didn't just hit her once. I think three times. And people started throwing things at him, right? I think they started getting up, running up there, and here he is punching this woman in the stomach. We are a peculiar people. You're peculiar. Thank you. Sue said, so are you. My husband, I'll pick on him. He's very peculiar. Okay. So, where am I? I have no idea. Okay. So the Holy Spirit, the helper, whom the Father will send in my name, he's already sent, we already have, and will teach you all things. Is the Holy Spirit teaching you? You think so? All things, and bring to remembrance all the things that he said, that I said to you. He would take what Jesus said and remind them. Because after Jesus was gone, here they were. They waited. They waited in this upper room, and they waited, and all of a sudden, it wasn't a week, wasn't 2 weeks, they waited, and they kept waiting, and there was a promise. But he said, and this is a promise, and the Spirit of God came, and then what happened? They left that room, and they went outside, and they went outside. And I think that's a problem in the church today. We're not going outside. He reminds us, and I just want to pray right now. Just want to stop and pray right now. Could we ask for another portion of the Holy Spirit? Father, you said if we agree as touching anything, that it would be given to us. So, Father, this morning, we need the filling, Lord. We ask, Father God, you know each one of us. We want more of a portion of the Holy Ghost, the Holy, Holy Spirit. God, we need to be filled up, overflowing. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, I know you are so strong and mighty and yet tender. Forgive us for ignoring you. Forgive us for not keeping that connection. We need you, especially in these days. We know we can't do anything without you. So, Holy Spirit of the living God, come, we ask for another measure, for the increase in Jesus' name. And remind us that you're with us, and remind us to talk to you and to listen, to have a listening ear. Would you fine-tune us? Fine-tune us. That we would say, oh, no, 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 no. That's not the voice of the Spirit. That's not the voice. That's the voice of the Spirit of God. Fine-tune us, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We need you. We need you. Now, I want to talk about when we pray. Every time we pray, you know, we get up in the morning and, I mean, you know, maybe we go into our room and sit down and we have our coffee by the kitchen table, whatever. Prayer should be an encounter with the Lord. An encounter with the Lord. What do you think that means, encounter? Somebody. Connected? Be with him? Excuse me? Denise? A meeting with the Lord. Connected with the Lord. With the Lord, an encounter. Every time we pray, and you know, we fall into our own ways and habits of doing things. You know, okay, now I'm going to pray. It's so-and-so. Okay, I'm going to jump in the shower in about 20 minutes. So let's say I want to pray for this one because I know this one's doing that. But and that's great. I'm not saying it's not. But we need to have times where we encounter the Spirit of God and pray and say, Holy Spirit, what is on your heart? Holy Spirit, how do I pray? Okay? So I'm calling it an encounter. These are the days of encounters. An encounter at the altar. Your own private altar. It may be I'm going to say it's a spiritual place. Other people don't know that that's your altar there. But we need to build an altar. I don't want to be religious. You need to do this and you need to do that. And I don't want to, you know, all of these extra steps you have to take. God is God. And he is with us. Spirit of God is with us. Amen. But I know, and I've read about certain ones that built an altar. And what happens at the altar? An altar. What happens? What? Excuse me? Meeting place? Sacrifice. That's the word I was looking for. There's sacrifice at the altar. So when we meet, we want to hear the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wants to lead us with the prayer. Because we lead by our hearts, we lead by our minds, and that's okay. I know we all do that. But the Holy Spirit wants to lead those prayers. The Holy Spirit wants us to go deeper. It's the Spirit of God. And sacrifices, an altar, sacrifices, burning. The altars of old were built. The wood was placed on the altar. Do you know what wood represents in the Word of God? What does it represent? Wood. Mankind. So the altars were built, stones. We're called living stones. Amen. And the wood was placed on the altar representing mankind. So you're actually having an encounter, putting yourself on the altar, right? I believe that includes our fears, putting our fears on the altar. That's what came to me clearly yesterday, putting our fears on the altar. Because sometimes fear guides our prayers. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, but that's my son, or that's my daughter. I'm not going to pray. God, you know. You know what I mean? But it is time for us to grow up. Because we're an end time people. You know. I don't want to put pressure on anyone. I don't want anybody to feel guilty about anything. I want us to enter into the joy and the truth that sets us free. So an encounter with the Lord. We want to produce fire. And the wood represents mankind. So your own, you know. I mean, does this sound extreme to you? I'm touching on things. Like, I would pray for my children a certain way because I have to cover them because I'm a mom. So it's a certain way I would pray for them, right? Oh, but I don't, dear God, please don't let him go through, blah, 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 blah. But Lord, you could, you know, could you do it this way? So I'm dealing and I'm bargaining. But I have to take my heart and sacrifice it. And we need to have an encounter. I'm taking my mother's heart and I'm putting it on the altar, okay? And we're going to light that altar because something's going to burn and incense is going to go up to his throne room. Ooh. Let's go to 1 Kings. I love this portion of scripture where it's actually makes me laugh a little bit. 1 Kings, what is it? Chapter 18. And I guess verse 20, 18. So here, Elijah is on Mount Carmel. And his opponent, his enemy, Ahab, comes with how many people? Hundreds of people. and they're going to fight this thing out, okay? And Ahab is definitely, he's Jezebel's husband, and he's a, how can we say, a what you call kind of husband, comes under the queen. The what? A wimp? A wimpy, yes, a wimp. The wimp, Ahab. And so Ahab, verse 20, sent for all the children of Israel, because they're going to have this fight between him and Elijah. Elijah comes with no one. But Ahab sent for all the children of Israel, all of them, and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him, not a word. In other words, if God is God, follow him. And you really, you choose Baal? Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. And he faced 450 men, Ahab, alone. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut in pieces, and laid on wood. Now he's going to build an altar. But put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull, and I will lay it on wood. Humanity, but put no fire under it. Then you can call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon, this was early in the morning till noon, that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or maybe he's busy, or he's on a journey, your God, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened, your God. So they cried aloud, and they started to cut themselves. Blood. There's the blood coming out. They started to cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. They're trying to get their God's attention, right? And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. So they're prophesying all this time. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah, this is another altar, and Elijah took 12 stones. What did I say we are? Living stones? According to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, the tribes, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two seers of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. Pour water all over the wood. He's making it harder for God, right? Then he said, do it a second time. Do it again. And they did it a second time. And do it a third time. Do it again. He did it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran around the altar and also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. I love that, the evening sacrifice. I just love that. Anyway, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. And Elijah said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And I won't go on. You can read it for yourself. But isn't that an interesting story? Elijah was a prophet. Amen. And I believe these are the days of Elijah. I believe that the prophetic ministry is coming down. And if you want it, it's yours for the asking. And I believe that we have to make a difference in the world. I believe that we have to do outstanding things. Amen. And you kind of in your prayer closet have to begin to see these things. And then when you're out of your prayer closet, it makes it easier to walk in them. God expects this chosen generation to do mighty, awesome things for him. Now, when Elijah prayed for God to do what he needed him to do, it was an encounter. It wasn't just take my prayer list and pray, go through this, go through this, go through that. It was an encounter. Amen? In fact, when it's an encounter, you're face to face. Amen. You're face to face. And all of a sudden, you might be going this way in prayer, and boom, like the heart of God is all of a sudden turning your heart to go this way. But you feel different. You feel maybe goosebumps, or maybe you want to cry, or maybe you just want to shout to God, or maybe you just want to start worshiping him, because there wasn't just a monologue of prayer. It was an encounter. And all of a sudden, you feel a breakthrough. And that's what we are. We are called the breakthrough end time people. Breakthrough end time people. So, altars. So, breakthroughs. So, face to face with God. So, encounters. So, I'm calling myself and all of us to go deeper. Amen? And the deeper you get, the higher you will be. Deeper, deeper, deeper. Spend time alone with God in prayer. You know, sometimes if we're praying for someone and that someone doesn't even seem interested in the Lord, and you're praying for them and you feel like a broken record, or you feel like you're not going anywhere, just stop. Just stop. And think of that person. And think about some of the things perhaps God wants to do. And pray them through. You know, in prayer, there's a breakthrough time. You know you touch the heart of God. It might be 3 years later. You understand? Has it happened to us? Encounter God. So fire fell, it said in verse 40. Fire came down. What is an altar? It's stones, wood on it, and fire. I'll talk about that a little bit more. God wants to answer by fire. The fire fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. And they all fell on their faces. And you know what they said? The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And we need the fire of God. So, you know, God just loves you so much that when you spend time in prayer, it's a blessing. It's a blessing for Him. It's a blessing for you. But just pray about that at certain times, certain situations, certain needs that are present, pray about or build yourself up first in your most holy faith, in the Spirit, praying. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. And when you feel an opening, so to speak, when you feel a presence or a calling forth, then go in there and pray. Go in there and pray. Prayer is more than a voice. It's a cry from the heart. And it should cause transforming results. A holy connection. Did you ever pray and knew you touched the heart of God? Sometimes the atmosphere even changes. Maybe you begin to cry because He's there. You know He's there. Oh, you know He's listening. Sometimes you just feel like your prayers are brass. You know, what do they say? Clanging cymbal or whatever. But and other times, you know God is kind of breathing on that prayer, that you've got His attention. So I'm talking about all of this because we are chosen people. We are chosen people, and we have been chosen to be in this world at this time. The best time to praise God, the best time to glorify God, is when you're hurting really bad. Breaking through the sound barrier. That's an altar. That's sacrifice on the altar. That's so anointed. And it breaks yokes. If somebody hurt you, really hurt you, and you're going to go in and you're going to pray and you're going to say, God, I want him to know how bad he hurt me. I want you to show him this, that, and the other thing. No. God, praying for the soul of that person, not do with me. That's a sacrifice, and that's an altar. Sometimes I know that sometimes when I pray, I feel the atmosphere change. And I'm building an altar. And maybe I have to become the sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 says, the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out, but the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Do you know, like I said, what wood represents? What did I say? Humanity. Amen? Jesus wasn't involved in religion ever. He was always involved in love and relationship. That's what our Savior was involved in, love and relationship. Not fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. All fear. Amen? He wasn't religious, was he? His obedience came from the love and devotion in his heart. for God the Father and for God's people, for people, for people. That was the fire that never ceased. You know, on the altar, the priest would keep that fire burning, and it never stopped. They had to keep it burning all night long, all day long. And that just reminds me of God, because remember the burning bush? The burning bush. The bush wasn't burning, but the flame was there. I just feel when I think of that, that's God's love. That burning, burning love. It just won't go away. Nothing can put it out. It just burns day and night like that burning bush. His love is so strong. Don't you want to connect with him? You think about him. He is forever burning in his heart for the love for people. You know, we think that we're just a man or a woman, but we're holy. I said this before. I don't feel holy all the time. No. But we are holy. A holy generation. We serve a God. We have a holy calling. I think when I get up in the morning, I should remind myself that I'm holy. Look at myself in the mirror, no makeup on, hair a mess, probably eyes swollen, whatever. I'm holy because you have made me holy. I'm holy, acceptable, highly favored, deeply loved. I want to be on fire. God, the way that burning bush, that flame that the priest kept on the altar, never went out, never went out, never went out. I want to be a flame for God. More of his love. More of his love. And stepping out, maybe even looking like a fool for him. We think we're just a man or a woman. We are holy. We serve a holy God. We have a holy calling. Holy unto God. You know, God has holy ones in heaven, and he has holy ones on earth, heaven and earth. Everything is holy in heaven, but on earth, we are the containers of his holiness. Amen? A holy generation who knows God's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. He's coming back. We're running out of time. Really. He's coming back for his holy ones, the ones who are in the graves in the ground. He's coming back for the ones who have drowned in the sea. He's coming back for his holy ones who were burned in fires. He's coming back for his holy ones who have remained in his name and in his work and are alive on the earth when he returns. It's coming back for all of those that belong to him. He's coming back. When we accepted Jesus and made him Lord, we became part of God's family. And the Father will send him down, Jesus, to gather up all his brothers and sisters. We're a holy generation, people, who will get to hear the angels worshiping God and crying out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. They can't stop saying it. It's like that unquenchable fire that won't go out. These angels can't stop. Every time they say it, it's like they're saying it for the first time, because they're looking into levels of holiness. And there's one level after another, it doesn't stop. It's so deep, it's so wide, it's so high. And all they can say is, holy, holy God. Amen? Don't you want to see that more? And don't you want to be holy for him? Don't you want to worship him like that, like you can't stop, and feel his love and be on fire for him? And be one of his sacrifices on the altar. The curtain was torn in two so that we can enter the most holy place. It was torn in two for us to enter the most holy place and pray, meeting place with the Lord. And every time we pray, we set ourselves aside to pray. I believe we're entering that holy place. And there, in the holy place, is an altar. And there, in the holy place, is a fire. And wood. Do you want to be a sacrificial lamb for the Lord thy God? Maybe I'll go into that another time. Next week. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, they can't stop because they see another degree and another degree and another degree. It's an increase and increase upon increase. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. This God, this holy God, who created the whole universe, everything in it, who called us by name, who called us out of our mother's womb, who knew us before we were born, that holy God, when we pray, he listens. We're his child, covered by the blood, carrying the spirit of the living God. That holy God hears our prayers. God sees us holy because he sees the blood on us. When he looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus on us. We are holy. We become the fire on the altar, and the fire is holy. It consumes us, and that's what makes us holy, consuming fire of God. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all peoples. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 tells us we are set apart. We are the people of high calling, set apart. It's not that we just pledge our allegiance to him. It is that he has taken ownership of us. Striving for holiness means having a relationship with him, defined by obedience to his will. Striving for holiness means having a relationship with God defined by obedience to his will. You know what? Every word that I speak up here, I will be accounted for. How will you say that? Accountable. So I don't take this lightly. I know. God have mercy. God have mercy. God have mercy and love. Striving for holiness means having a relationship with God defined by obedience to his will. And I don't think we have to strive. I think all the doors are open and he's just saying, walk in. His heart, 1 Thessalonians 4, 7. For God did not call us to uncleanness. Uncleanness? Doesn't sound right, does it? For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Holy people go after God's heart. Go after God's heart, people. Prayer is more than a monologue. I think I got that across, right? It becomes an encounter with God. Hearts meet. The word of God says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. In these times, I believe God is saying, build me an altar. An altar is really, it becomes the mercy seat before God. And encounter him at the mercy seat. We have such a calling, men and women. Men and women who are rising up to a higher calling. Altars that produce fires. God will bring the fire. While we are praying, war is going on in the heavens. All sorts of, what does the word tell us in Ephesians? About the demonic. What does it say in Ephesians? Okay. And what and who or what are they in high places? Principalities in the air. Huh? I can't hear you. Dark forces. Unseen dark forces. I think we're going to start seeing them, actually. Okay, so we're in a battle, right? There's war going on, and we are soldiers, and our God is an awesome God who reigns, and the rider on the right white horse is calling us to get ready to reign with him. Could you stand, please? Principalities and powers in high places. Do they try to bother us? And what happens when they try to bother us? It kind of come under something, but you get through the day? What happens? Huh? There's an oppression? What happens when you know, sometimes you ever feel an oppression in your house? Anybody ever feel that? Yes. And the Holy Spirit sensitizes us. Sometimes we start to pray and we can't just break through, you know? And our mind is probably thinking about everything you have to pray for and what it's like and, you know, stuff like that. But you can't break through sometimes, right? But give yourself a little time. We have to realize how powerful we are. You're a child of God, you know? You see families, and you see if the mother can sing and the father can sing, well, the kids can sing, right? His family, everybody sings in his family. Beautiful, because it's been inherited. Amen? Amen. My father used to draw. I could draw a little bit. It was inherited. Our Father in heaven is in control. Our Father in heaven is holy. Our Father in heaven is looking at us. Our Father in heaven is love. Such powerful love. Such powerful love. What a love like that. Right? And I am able to inherit my Father's ways. I can inherit from my Father. It's an inheritance because he became my Holy Father. When I asked his Son to come in, all of a sudden there was a connection I never knew I could have. there was a connection, and it was real, and I knew that it was real. I want, like a spoiled brat, I want everything, everything that God has for me. Everything that God has for me. And if there's oppression, then the enemy's trying to come in and just ruin your day. And I'm telling you, the more powerful you are in the spirit, the more oppression you will feel. But you can get rid of it. Because our God is a breakthrough God, and we have inherited the breakthrough. Amen? Amen. Father, we just come before you, God. We love you, Lord God. Draw us closer. Draw us higher, God. Draw us so close to you, Lord God, that we would know what's on your heart when we pray. That we would know what's on your heart. And even though things seem so dark and dismal, that we would know, God, that you're in it and you're about a very good work. Father, you have put on our hearts certain people that have not come to know you. And right now, God, we're praying especially for that certain one to be awakened in the spirit. Father, we are called at this time. We're a chosen generation. And you're building a holy, holy building, stone on top of stone, and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. In Israel, they want to build a temple. But we know we are the temple of God. Oh. Thank you for choosing me, Lord. Thank you. I never called on you this way, Lord God. But you chose us, Father. And you call us a chosen generation. An end time, powerful, holy generation. May we walk in your ways. Wake us up, sensitize us to truth, Lord God. And let us be the people that you are calling us to be. We pray for encounters with you, Lord. That when we come before you, God, first we would stop and say, Lord, what do you want me to pray for? And now, God, show me how to pray. That our altars will become so holy, Lord, so holy. Breakthroughs would happen because you call us a breakthrough army on your earth. We love you, Lord. So Holy Spirit, I know you're going to seal anything that was truth today in our hearts and minds and cause us to walk in it. Spirit of God, we love you. We need you. We want to be obedient to you. Father, I ask you to make us so sensitive to your spirit, our helper, our guide. He speaks to us. He teaches us. He guides us. And we need him. As the day is growing darker, we need the powerful spirit of the living God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. You are so good to us. We want to love you more. Would you give us an increase, another level of love for you? We ask for it. We ask for it. I want to love you beyond how I've loved you and love you now. I want more love for you, God. Would you give us that? Would you increase it within us, Lord? That we walk in the power of your love. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise God.
Yesterday, I believe, was his next birthday, right? I think next week is Brother Mike's birthday, and there probably might be other marchers, but we have a nice cake. Gladys, that's right.
Oh.
Also.
Oh.
Yeah, so join us as we just celebrate everybody's birthday.
You know, our gentleman in the back, Rich, and he's married to Arlene. Arlene hasn't been here probably about 4 or 5 weeks. Would you keep her in prayer that God